Motherhood is history's greatest untold story. It's built empires, fueled revolutions, and pushed the boundaries of science. And yet, because it happens in quiet rooms, behind closed doors, it's been left out of the grand narrative. But make no mistake, motherhood is not just tenderness. It's raw, unrelenting, a force that tears you apart and remakes you over and over again. It's blood, bone, love, and sheer will. This isn't a story about sacrifice. It's a story about power, about what it means to become a mother and what it means to never stop becoming. This is Bloodline and Backbone. One day I'm going home. I feel it deep inside of my soul. I ain't got a lot of silver and gold. I got what cannot be sold. I'm gonna see it in. So take what you wanna take, but you can't take it to the grave. You know everything is fading away. I might not have it today, but I'ma see it in. In August of 2024, the U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, issued an advisory on the mental health and well-being of parents. The U.S. Surgeon General is like the country's top doctor, responsible for keeping Americans informed about major health issues. They warn the public about things like smoking, mental health, and disease outbreaks, giving expert advice to help people stay healthy. When the U.S. Surgeon General puts out an advisory, it's like a big flashing warning sign on the road of public health. These advisories don't come out for just anything. They're reserved for stuff that's urgent, widespread, and needs action. It's not just talk, it's a call to wake up and do something before things get worse. Here's Dr. Murthy on Good Morning America.
According to the American Psychological Association, 48% of parents say most days their stress is completely overwhelming, and that number drops to 26% of adults without kids.
The U.S. Surgeon General is issuing a health advisory on parental stress. Here to discuss is the U.S. Surgeon General and father of two, we should point out, Dr. Vivek Murthy. Thank you so much for being with us.
Of course, glad to be with you today.
You have been very vocal about mental health with children and adolescents. Now you're issuing this advisory specifically geared towards parents. What is going on?
Well, one of the things that I realized early on in my tenure as Surgeon General was that we were living through a mental health crisis in America, and it was one that was hitting our kids particularly hard. But as I traveled around the country and spoke to families across America, one thing became very clear. It's that parents were struggling too. And we cannot address fully the youth mental health crisis without also recognizing that parents' mental health impacts the mental health of kids. And right now, millions of parents are struggling with overwhelming amounts of stress. We need to pull back the curtain on what's happening to them and find ways to get them more support.
Dr. Murthy, what do you think is driving these numbers and this disproportionate rate of loneliness among parents?
Yeah, so the numbers are deeply concerning. It's one about how many parents are overwhelmed by stress, and nearly half of parents are saying that most days their stress is completely overwhelming. But the loneliness numbers are also surprising and striking, which is that 65% of parents are saying that they struggle with loneliness, and that number actually goes above 75% if you talk to single parents. And so both of these contribute to the major stresses parents are experiencing. But here's where it's coming from. There are the old stressors that parents have always had to deal with, worrying about safety, worrying about how to manage the stress of the teenage years, dealing with many, many sleepless nights, which I can attest to as a parent myself. But there are also new stressors. Parents today have to worry about how to manage social media and phones for their kids, which is a major source of stress. And the loneliness epidemic, the mental health crisis that's hit kids particularly hard, as a major source of stress in parents' lives. When you put these together with the fact that many of us have frankly lost our villages, we don't have the kind of supports that we may have had in the past, and the entire challenge and work of parenting is falling on the shoulders of one or two parents alone, that is really a recipe for what you're seeing now, which is extreme mental health stress and strain on parents.
Well, and then you hear so much from grandparents, right? Like, well, we did this by ourselves and it was okay. Are you saying something is different now for this group of parents?
One thing is just very clear though. You know, in the advisory, I lay out solutions that we have to take, and those solutions have to be preceded by a broader cultural shift that we make in our country to recognize that parenting is invaluable. It's important to all of us, affects all of society.
Honestly, most parents probably hear this and think, well, yeah, parenting is hard. It's supposed to be hard. But this new information points to something different. This is a fundamental breakdown of something. There is an overwhelming stress and loneliness plaguing parents, mothers especially. Not just once in a while, not like in the terrible twos or the teenage years. Most days, most of the time. And if you zoom out for just a second, you have to ask, why would anyone willingly sign up for this? Okay, maybe you wouldn't ask this, you whose child stroked your cheek while she laid her head on your chest this morning. On the other hand, if your child just told you that you're the worst mom ever after you made them wear a jacket, maybe you asked this morning. Regardless, plenty of people are questioning if they're cut out for bearing and raising children. Maybe this is part of why birth rates are dropping. In April 2024, the CDC released new data showing birth rates in the U.S. declined for the second year in a row. Since 2014, we've been seeing a slow, steady drop, 2 to 3% fewer births every year. There are a lot of reasons for this, economic, political, personal. But one thing feels undeniable. Women are looking at the reality of motherhood today and deciding the cost is too high. And let's take a closer look at the implications of falling birth rates.
Fertility rates started really falling in the U.S. about 16, 17, 18 years ago, okay? Like, it's amazing the number of people who I can remember them saying, well, fertility is a long-run problem, it's not urgent, it's not pressing. And now I see them, like, freaking out in articles in, like, Chronicle of Higher Education, being like, we're only a few years out from a cliff in enrollment at universities and no one knows. And I'm like, it blows my mind when people are like, well, it won't matter for 30 years. And I'm like, that's really soon. Like, do you realize how soon 30 years is? That's so close. Like, investment decisions right now depend on 30-year forecasts. We should really push back on the idea that these are like long-term future problems. Falling future growth is a problem in this exact moment. It is destroying investments today. And I want to tell you, I know this because I have special insider knowledge. And that special insider knowledge is I work with pharmaceutical companies, food companies, consumer product companies who make decisions about should we build a new factory or should we close a factory? Should we invest in a special type of baby formula that's only going to be used by people with a rare medical condition? And it's going to be, you know, $350 million of research? Or should we not invest in it? Should we develop a vaccine for a rare virus that causes childhood blindness? Or should we not? And that calculation depends on how many babies are born. Investment decisions are made right now, affecting like many hundreds of thousands or millions of American jobs that are about birth rates right now.
Right now, many moms are faced with an impossible tension. Be a devoted mother and a high-performing worker and a thriving individual all at once. If motherhood were a movie title, it would be everything, everywhere, all at once. But the really crazy part about moms is the amount of unseen labor they do every day. There's no gold star for mentally tracking the grocery list while answering work emails. No applause for being the one who notices the socks are running low or for remembering to schedule the dentist appointment while simultaneously explaining why we do not put rocks in the toaster. But the weight of it, it's real. And according to research, it's crushing mothers, not just physically, but mentally. The stress, the burnout, the exhaustion we keep talking about, this is a big part of it. Because when the work of running a household lives inside your head all the time, there's no off switch. And that kind of labor, the kind no one else ever sees, is the hardest to ask for help with.
I think it's really confusing for so many of us who enter into motherhood with really romanticized ideals of what our experience is going to be. Mm-hmm. And it's painted as like lovely and joy-filled and, you know, sort of romantic and idealistic. And while there are those moments, there are also a lot of heavy moments, dark moments, maybe ragey moments. And for me, in my postpartum experience, just kind of hitting that wall of the reality of what this role really was really sort of blindsiding and also sobering. Like, it was quite a realization. And a big part of this sort of unspoken labor, or as Libby would call the like the contract of motherhood that we enter into, that is not really like shared or put out at the forefront, we feel kind of duped into, is carrying this invisible load. Mm-hmm. And I liken it to an invisible backpack where we get handed this weight and responsibility. And I remember feeling this every time I expanded my family, like, oh, like I want to, but I know how heavy this is. And we can feel the heaviness and we can describe what it feels like, mm-hmm. but we don't really know or have the language to articulate what it is that's so heavy or what it is we need help with or need our partner to do more of or what we can let go of.
There was a time when motherhood was seen as a given, an expectation, even a privilege. It was something to be proud of, something that shaped families, communities, legacies. But fast forward to 2025, and the greater cultural narrative has flipped on its head. If we're being honest, motherhood is now framed as a burden, a crisis. The larger cultural attitude toward it is that it's something to survive. The most dangerous thing about cultural attitudes, though, is that they don't feel like opinions. They feel like truth, shaping the way we see the world before we even have a chance to question them. And by the time we do, they've already set up camp in our minds as fact. Take cigarettes. For decades, people were told smoking was good for them. Not just harmless, healthy. Doctors endorsed cigarette brands, medical journals printed ads saying smoking soothed your throat and helped with digestion. It wasn't just socially acceptable, it was scientifically recommended.
In a nationwide survey, doctors in all branches of medicine were asked, "What cigarette do you smoke, doctor?" The brand named most was Camel's. Tens of thousands of doctors, general practitioners, surgeons, specialists, doctors in every branch of medicine were included. And according to this nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Try Camels yourself, the cigarette so many doctors enjoy.
It took decades, even lifetimes, for the truth to catch up. So let's ask the uncomfortable question. What are we getting wrong right now? Because today we're living inside a different kind of narrative, one that's just as widely accepted, just as rarely challenged, and it goes like this. Motherhood is bad for your health, bad for your marriage, bad for your career, your identity, your body, your mental stability. In fact, Chapel Roan recently said this straight up on the Call Her Daddy podcast.
All of my friends who have kids are in hell. I don't know anyone. I actually don't know anyone who's like happy and has children. At this age, I literally have not met anyone who's happy, anyone who has like light in their eyes, anyone who has who has slept.
Listen, I'm not here to pretend that modern motherhood isn't challenging. The data speaks for itself. Moms are burned out, exhausted, and pushed to their limits in ways that previous generations just weren't. But here's the real question. Is the problem actually motherhood? Just like doctors once told us to smoke to feel better, we're now being told that motherhood is the problem. That our choices are to avoid it, resent it, or endure it like a life sentence. But what if the truth isn't that motherhood is broken? Could it be something else? Because if history has taught us anything, it's this. Just because something is widely accepted doesn't mean it's true. When we began to create this podcast, it was important for us to look at modern motherhood in the face, to objectively confront the facts about what it really looks like without judgment or opinion, but through an objective lens. All transformation starts here with an unflinching look at what is before we can possibly consider what could be. That's what this episode is. Stick with us for a minute. I promise we're going to get somewhere. But in the meantime, let's talk about the mothering hills we die on.
Why homeschooling is better than traditional schooling. Let's talk about it.
I don't allow any screen time for my kids during the day. Here's why.
So I'm a mom who doesn't restrict screen time for her toddler.
Even as a formula feeding mom, I would say rest is best. Can and are able.
Let's talk about it because here's the thing about me. I will never be a stay-at-home mom, and I'm happy to tell you all the reasons why.
First of all, of my children's pediatricians have supported me both the day.
There are countless mothering choices that at the moment feel like life or death. What we feed our kids, how we educate them, where they sleep, what they watch, whether we work, whether we stay home, what extracurricular activities to put them in. We're not just making choices, we're staking our identity on them. There are never-ending decisions to make, and they all feel high stakes. And nothing, nothing divides mothers like these choices. Because it's not just about what's best for your child anymore. It's turned into a conversation about what's right, what's moral, and more often than not, what proves to ourselves and to other mothers, to the invisible panel of judges we believe are watching, that we're good moms. And that's where things start to go sideways. Because moms are not just making choices anymore. We're defending them with research, with social media posts, with entire communities built around what's correct. And when something feels that deeply personal, it's only a matter of time before we start seeing another mother's different choices as an indictment of our own. And here's where the data comes in. 80% of moms say they have been judged for their parenting choices. 62% of moms say they feel pressure to appear like they're doing a good job all the time, even when they're drowning. 78% of moms say they feel like someone is always watching how they parent, not in a helpful way, in a waiting for you to mess up way. This is what modern motherhood has become, not just raising kids, but performing motherhood under a microscope. And here's the real tragedy of it. Mom shaming doesn't just make mothers feel awful. It actively makes us worse parents. Research shows that when mothers feel judged, they experience higher levels of stress, anxiety, and self-doubt. And what does that stress and self-doubt do? It makes you second-guess your instincts. It disconnects you from your child, maybe even feel angry at your kid or resentful. It makes you more reactive, more checked out, more depleted, feeling like you're never good enough. We're so busy proving that we're good mothers, we're forgetting how to just be mothers. And the real kicker? Most of the time, we're not even shamed by the people who actually matter. Not our kids, not the people who love us, not the people in the trenches with us. We're being shamed by internet strangers or that one aunt who always has something to say at Thanksgiving, or worst of all, ourselves. We are exhausting ourselves, fighting battles that don't need to be fought, defending choices that don't need to be defended, seeking approval that we don't even need. And if that doesn't make you want to throw your phone into the ocean, I don't know what will. So here's the question we need to ask. What would happen if we stopped? What if we let go of the notion of correctness? What if we made choices that worked for us and let other moms do the same? Honestly, it might be the most radical thing we do all week. Because at the end of the day, the parenting hills we die on don't matter nearly as much as the relationships we live for. Rabbi Steve Leader noticed one day that despite the fact that we are all unique individuals who lead different lives, if you walk through a cemetery and read the headstones, they all say the same thing. There's some outliers and some are funny, but for the most part, what do they say? Loving wife, mother, grandmother, friend. Loving husband, father, grandfather, friend. Not your job title or your resume, not your address or your jean size, not your net worth or the title of the book you wrote. When you have to distill a person's life down to 15 characters per line and 4 lines per headstone, you end up with what really matters at the end of it all. And that's the quality of relationships and love you have with a handful of people who really matter. Our legacy and purpose have nothing to do with our accomplishments and everything to do with our relationships. And so why do we get caught up in the cultural norms that don't matter? What is a culture? At its core, a culture is a shared way of life. It has its own language, rituals, symbols, beliefs, and coping mechanisms. It offers a sense of belonging to those who participate in it. Subcultures form when a group of people, bound by shared experiences, struggles, or identities, develop their own shorthand for survival. Punk culture rebelled against authority. Book talk culture created a new generation of obsessive readers.
5 books I read in one sitting. I read these in 24 hours. They had me hooked on the very first page, and I have a variety of genres.
True crime culture turned murder mysteries into entertainment and made armchair detectives of all of us.
They say the truth is stranger than fiction. Beneath the surface of small towns and big cities, real darkness hides in plain sight.
And wine mom culture? Wine mom culture is the underground society of exhausted mothers where the slogan is, "Mommy needs wine." The uniform is a sweatshirt that says rosé all day, and the unspoken initiation is a toddler meltdown in Target. Like any culture, it comes with a common language. Mommy juice, sippy cup for grown-ups, is it wine o'clock yet? Symbols and artifacts, stemless wine glasses that say mom's turn to wine, to the tune of 67,000 search results for wine mom merch on Etsy. A shared belief system. Motherhood is relentless. You're doing everything for everyone else. You deserve a little something for yourself. Rituals, pouring a glass at the end of the day. Group texts about needing a drink. The first sip as a quiet act of defiance against exhaustion. A sense of belonging, because nothing bonds people faster than shared struggle. As fun and harmless as much of this is, the numbers are sounding the alarm. Women's high-risk drinking, 4 or more drinks in a day, has surged by 58% in the last decade. Heavy drinking days among women jumped 41% during the pandemic. Alcohol-related ER visits for women have skyrocketed, outpacing men. Wine mom culture isn't just about alcohol. It's about permission. Permission to admit that this is hard, that perfection is a myth, that maybe, just maybe, we don't have it all together. And I'm not villainizing drinking. What I'm shedding light on are harmful coping mechanisms. But let's pause here, because while we laugh at the wine o'clock jokes or wear the mommy needs wine shirts, the reality of modern motherhood is often darker than we let on. A few years ago at MomCon, our annual conference with 4,000 mothers in attendance, we asked a simple question. What do you need prayer for? What are you struggling with? And the responses flooded in, thousands of them, anonymous and raw. And what we read didn't just highlight the cracks in the surface. It exposed the deep hidden fractures many moms are grappling with. There were confessions of addiction, moms struggling silently with prescription pills, battling pornography addiction in isolation, domestic abuse, hiding emotional and physical wounds behind forced smiles. One mom wrote, "I feel like I'm drowning, but no one can see it." These weren't just outliers. They were echoes of what so many are feeling. And the thing is, these mothers were all around us, sitting in the audience, engaging in conversation, just like you and me. And yet they felt trapped in their own battles and unable to speak up. But hear me, that moment at MomCon was not just one of despair. It was a quiet reckoning, an opportunity to begin unraveling the narrative that has made us believe we have to hide our struggles and numb the pain. Because for many, wine mom culture isn't just about a drink, it's a cry for help, a desire for connection, for validation that it's okay not to have it all together. But here's the twist. If we continue to numb the pain without confronting the root causes, we're only perpetuating the cycle. An unflinching look at modern motherhood, remember? We're holding up a mirror to some of the challenges of modern motherhood, not with judgment, not with nostalgia for some idealized past, but with a clear and sober lens. That's what this episode is about. Stick with us. We're not staying here. But before we move forward, we have to understand exactly where we stand. Because what if motherhood isn't the problem? Maybe the way we're expected to mother is the problem. What if it didn't need coping mechanisms as much as we needed actual support? What if the answer isn't at the bottom of a glass or the checkout page of an online shopping cart or buried inside a prescription bottle, but in something deeper, something older, something that reminds us we were never meant to do this alone? All right. Deep breath. If you're feeling personally called out, take heart. It's not just you. We are all in this together. And before we go any further,
lighten up, Francis.
If you don't know the reference, it's from Stripes, a 1981 movie with the patron saint Bill Murray, where a guy takes himself way too seriously and someone finally tells him to calm down and get a grip, which frankly is good advice for all of us because yes, we just took an unsparing look at modern motherhood. But if there's anything moms know, it's that humor is a survival skill. And more importantly, we're built for the hard work. To close, let's talk about the Stockdale paradox. James Stockdale was a U.S. Navy officer shot down over Vietnam, taken as a prisoner of war. 7 years in captivity. 7 years. Tortured more than 20 times. No certainty of survival. No knowledge of when or if he'd ever see his wife again. And yet, he made it out. Not just alive, but intact. Later, when asked how he survived, Stockdale said something that has rattled around in my chest ever since. You must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. That's it. That's the paradox. Confronting the brutal facts and never losing faith that you will prevail. The ones who didn't make it, the blind optimists, the ones who kept saying, we'll be out by Christmas, and then Christmas would come and go. Easter, for sure. But then Easter would pass. Thanksgiving. Then another year. Another loss. Hope stretched too thin, snapping under the weight of expectation. James Stockdale didn't do that. He faced the brutal facts of his situation and still believed he would make it through. Which brings us here. Because this episode, this whole series, motherhood itself, it's all a practice in the Stockdale paradox. We just confronted many of the brutal facts. We must look directly at them. Modern motherhood is uniquely hard. The data proves it. The birth rates confirm it. The Surgeon General is waving the warning flag. So many of us are exhausted, overwhelmed, and barely holding it together. But, and this is the important part, motherhood is freaking remarkable at the same time. Motherhood isn't a crisis, not a life sentence, but something holy, powerful, a complicated gift. And in the grand scheme of things, motherhood isn't failing. It's evolving. Remember the first month you brought your baby home? That foggy, tear-streaked, sleep-deprived stretch of time when you weren't sure where you ended and your baby began? If only we could have seen through the exhaustion that we weren't unraveling, we were becoming. That this wasn't collapse, it was transition. That's the thing about transformation. It never feels like transformation in the moment. It feels like breaking, like leaving a job without a backup plan, like saying goodbye to someone you thought you couldn't live without, like watching your kid walk into high school and feeling them slipping away from you. But if we've learned anything, it's this. What feels like the end is often just the next beginning. It reminds me of this poetic verse from the prophet Isaiah. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And if that's true, if we're in a moment of transition, not collapse, then that means we have something precious, necessary, and utterly ours. Hope. Hope for a new thing. Hope that us moms are on the wild path toward deeper wisdom and nourishing streams. Hope that we're not just barely surviving this thing, but actively shaping what comes next. Because if we get to shape the next era of motherhood, then we get to decide what kind of world we pass through to our kids. And that's worth holding on to. Next week, we're diving into the spicy side of motherhood, sex, marriage, and the mom tropes that just won't die. From the exhausted no-sex mom to the trad wife trend, where did these narratives come from? And more importantly, do we have to play along? Buckle up. Thanks for listening.
This has been Bloodline and Backbone, a production of Momco Media, created by Mandy Arioto. It was written by Emma Turnbull and Mandy Arioto. Produced by Jeremiah Shoemaker. Music composition and sound design by Sleepy Dog Creative. Our executive producer is Kelly Jo Smith. And our theme song is Glory by Zuri Alvarado. If this episode moved you, share it with someone who needs to hear it. And don't forget to follow the podcast so you never miss a new story. You can reach us at media@themom.co. We'll see you next time on Bloodline and Backbone.